Good morning, and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning we're going to have a message out of Romans, talking about God's love. It's a very powerful passage. As you know, Romans is considered to be one of Paul's letters that really gets to the core of Paul's theology, his understanding, his very deep understanding of God. And he, of course, obtained this understanding through a special power that came to him when he was converted by Jesus Christ. And so this is a powerful passage this morning. And then Alan Vest has prepared for us a wonderful song entitled Rise Again, a song by Dallas Holmes. So I hope you'll enjoy our time together, and let us begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you for gathering us together in your presence. We thank you for the way that you bless us, not only with all that we are surrounded by, but also with all of the love that we feel when we're in your presence. We thank you for your word, and we pray now that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us to hear your word in a special way. So we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning does come from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. In his book, The New Being, The great theologian Paul Tillich claims these words from Romans 8 are among the most powerful words ever written. He states that the mere sound of them is able to grasp human souls in desperate situations. They are stronger than the sound of exploding mortar shells, of weeping at open graves. They are stronger than the sighs of the sick or the moaning of the dying. They are stronger than the self-accusation of those in despair. And these words, he says, prevail over the permanent whisper of anxiety we all carry around within us. Yes, those are the words of Paul Tillich in The New Being. Well, Tillich is convinced God's Spirit can radically shape our imaginations and our lives through the power of this proclamation from Romans, this proclamation of God's unconquerable and unquenchable love for us. You know, Romans is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. Paul was getting ready to travel as a missionary to Spain, and on the way to Spain, he was going to stop and visit the church in Rome, which was the capital of the Roman Empire. The book of Romans is an introduction of his theological ideas to the Christians living in Rome. Now, you would have expected that Paul would have introduced himself to the Romans. But the focus of the book is not on Paul's person, but on Paul's core theology. When Paul writes this letter to the church in Rome, he was a mature, older, and wise apostle of Jesus Christ. There are three very promising statements in this passage that deserve our attention today in relation to our lives. Now, first, Paul reminds us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit intercedes for us, especially when we do not know what to say or even what to pray. You know, we often find ourselves in places when we don't know what to say or what to pray, often in the midst of human trauma or heartache. We find ourselves too stunned to speak, too overwhelmed to make sense of life, too perplexed to know what to do. That is why Paul's words here should not be overlooked. He says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit intercedes with groans too deep for words." And this is grand news for our lives. When we don't know what to say, when we do not know how to pray, the Spirit helps us and intercedes for us, conveying our hearts and our needs to God, making sure that God knows and understands the places we are and the things we need. I relate to this so dramatically when I sit for my prayer time early in the morning. I have a list of people that I have promised I would pray for, and I do. And there are times when I don't know how to pray or what to pray for. I don't know what God's will is for their lives. And so there are times when I merely hold them up and ask the Spirit to intercede. The Spirit knows how to pray. The second major point in this passage from Romans says that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Yes, listen to that again. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. I think there's really no debate about this verse. The whole Bible is a story of God working for good. Despite the ups and downs of life, despite the wanderings and waywardness of God's people, despite setback and heartache and even death, God is always working for good. And when God is the subject, whenever God is involved, and of course we know that God is always present and involved, when we know God's broader purposes and intentions, which are life, hope, joy, love, and peace, God always works to bring about those things even through the trials that we must endure. I have seen this in so many places, in my own life, in the misery that I observe, in the worst trauma that we can imagine. God works through all things for good. God's activity brings redemption and hope in every part of creation. This is what the Bible is about. Through misery and trauma, failure and the biggest mistakes, even total hopelessness, God's abiding care and presence brings life out of death, healing out of deepest hurt, light out of darkness, joy out of tears, and dancing out of mourning. When we are in the midst of it, we cannot see it or even imagine how God might be at work. But with this kind of faith and hearts of love, we know God is always at work, never leaving us. And then there is one final point in this text that deserves our attention today. The great promise that nothing, not anything, can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here, verses 37 through 39 one more time. This is Romans 8, 37 through 39. It says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Those are very powerful words coming directly out of Scripture. And so, are we going to live our lives and spend our time fundamentally afraid that God might love everyone else, but certainly cannot love me, given all that has happened, or that we have messed up too much and too often? Are we going to live our lives and spend our time being governed by those fears? Are we going to turn the proclamation that only Christ can condemn us into bad news because we don't think we can ever be good enough or faithful enough to measure up? Is that what we're going to trust? Are we going to live primarily by fear? Or are we going to try and live out of a sense of gratitude for what this scripture, what the gospel promises us? Are we going to live our lives with the orientation of a deep and abiding thankfulness that trusts not in our own goodness, but in God's goodness? A thankfulness that tries to remember that only Jesus is the one who gets to define us. Trusting that promise makes all the difference in the world because it means we are trying to trust that nothing, no thing, not anything in the past or anything in the future, not anything we have done or left undone, not any voice that tells us we are not enough, not anything from within us or without us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Not even death can separate us from God's love. Period. End of story. That is the gospel good news of this text. You are God's beloved, and there is nothing you can do except choose how you will respond. So what will it be? Fear or gratitude? I believe hearing these words and taking them into our souls is the antidote to a life lived out of fear. We live the way we do as people of faith, not because we are afraid of God or of not being enough, but because we are grateful to God for His claim on our lives. It is a completely different way of living. Frankly, it's countercultural. It's a countercultural way of living. But when we can do it, we will discover our God-given freedom. When we stop looking for our flaws in the religious mirror, or stop listening to all of those voices that proclaim not enough, then we are free to look upon the One who sets us free. When we choose gratitude over fear as our response to being loved, we will discover our freedom to make and keep life human. We will discover our freedom to love God, our freedom to love our neighbor, and our freedom to build up the earth. Our discipleship, rather than based on motives of guilt or fear or worthiness, will be based simply and beautifully on gratitude to God for His wildly extravagant grace and love. A proclamation Paul makes again and again in his letter to the Romans. These words from Paul contain the gospel truth. They proclaim what Jesus showed us is true, that we have been created by God for love and freedom, chosen before the foundation of the world for such extravagant grace and lavish love. These words do indeed shake the foundations of the earth. And when we take them seriously, these words can also form the foundation of our faith. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah and Amen. Now, friends, I hope you will take those words to heart as we listen to Alan Vest, as he performs Rise Again, a song by Dallas Holmes, this morning arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is Rise Again.
Where you stand. say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise. That you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but I will see that I'm the one. 'Cause I'll come again. Ain't no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come.
Well, that's a powerful song. Thank you to Alan for that great song. And now, friends, as we look forward to this coming week, let us truly look forward to it. Let us look forward to it with anticipation and joy, because we know that the words of Scripture are true. And as the Apostle Paul tells us, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And then he goes on to tell us that there is nothing, nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That gives us every reason to go out with great hope and joy and face the week ahead. Be blessed, and thank you for listening.